Hopefully I cut it off at the right spot here, Pablo. I want to use this in the message tonight, Charlie, and then after that, remind me to take it, and maybe somebody can make some copies of Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King. I have just one thing that I want to read. You know, this is the King James translation. And anyway, it's my favorite. And when I look for a translation, I look for the King James. But guess what? The King James has its failures as well as any translation. And there's reasons, and I understand the reasons. And as such, I have begun to realize that when you find something that looks like a discrepancy or something that's not the same, you know, some little mistake someplace, that you need to check it against some other translations. Well, somebody bought me an 8 translation comparison type of a Bible. So it shows me like 8 different translations. But and you have to understand that whenever you see the New King James, you see the Old King James, because all it is taking the old English words and putting them into the New English. It says exactly the same thing. Well, if you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, but not a King James, not in a King James translation, in some other translation. In 1 Timothy 3:16. Are you ready? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, I want you, out of another translation, to read the next sentence. Go ahead.
He was shown to us.
Who was?
He.
What translation?
This is the New Century version.
What do you have in yours, Ken?
Oh,
anybody else have a translation? It's 1 Timothy 3:16. What does yours say? 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery, or without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What's the next sentence say? Okay. I tell you what. Show you what throws us off. Now, in my other ones, most of them say he. What does yours say, Bonnie? That's what I want. What does it say? Okay, I don't have that one in my 8 translation. But anyway, in one of them it says, and I don't remember which one, it says, Jesus was manifested in the flesh. Do you know what it says in the King James, in the New King James? God was manifested in the flesh. It doesn't say that in the original. It doesn't say that in the manuscripts. It only says it in the King James and in the New King James. That's the only place that it says that. Yours leans that way, but in the original it doesn't say that. And so you know what that does? It throws us off. And even see that it's a good thing that we're beginning to understand that truth and revelation comes by spiritual discernment and comes from God, and not as that we can somehow figure it out in our heads, because we can't. But what this does, it puts a slant on our interpretation. So we're thinking that, you know, God was manifested in the flesh. That's not what it said. And what this does, see, Just before this are some verses that I want. Maybe Susan. Susan has excellent penmanship, and I'd like some big letters and have those two verses written someplace. So every time we come in, we see it all the time. It's in 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 5. And what it says, and it says this in every translation I can find. It says in verse 4, talking about God, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is God's will? His will is to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is for all. You know what? How many times did I read it before I saw it? God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge, or to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then the word for in verse 5. You know what for means? Because. You know, for. Because. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what Ken was reading in the second chapter of Acts this morning. A man approved by God. And this Jesus that they crucified, who God has made both Lord and Christ. And it says in another place, in John 5:26, it says that as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. It does something to this theology that has come out of the Dark Ages and was not part of the original church. It was not taught for 200 years after Christ. And then it slowly filtered in. How did it get there, do you suppose? How do you suppose it came? And we were fortunate enough to have Jeff Collier stop in and leave us a book. And is it still sitting here, or somebody have it? Okay. But anyway, those that what's the title of it again, Charlie? What's it called?
One God, One Lord.
One God and One Lord. And it's some other people that are, Indiana? Where's it from? Down in Indiana. That have begun to realize that we have been deceived. And that we have been believing some things that the scriptures don't support. And so when God began to change us, and Ken said it this morning, and I appreciate your approach to it and your confidence that God has been using me in a certain thing. And the other night, Charlie, when he said it, I wanted to say, God bless you, Charlie. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this, because he was kind of adamant about, Lord, don't let the pastor pass away. You know, keep him here, because this is a vital revelation. You know what? It is. But lest we think this, we're the only ones in this little podunk here that have it anywhere, we're not. Those people in Indiana have a better revelation than I've ever been able to approach as yet. The fact that we have been deceived. They got it a long time before I did. And God in his mercy one day opened the door and spoke. And it really happened. As I have seen lots of other things, this really happened to me. And a voice said, if you're serious and you want to find me, here's what you do. And I was directed to drop all of this other junk mail that I've been reading. All of these other books and things that are like what John was talking about. Well, I think. And you know what? What I've said a number of times? What I think, and 50 cents won't even buy you a can of pop anymore. Because what I think is kind of worthless. It's what this says that matters. So anyway,
down in my footnotes, it
I mean, I guess what I'm pointing out is you have to kind of read that up above because it's referring to God. So even though some of them say he was manifested, right? And one says Jesus, but that one there is taking it kind of out of context because it's saying, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, he who was manifested in the flesh. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is the correlation there?
Yeah.
And it sounds as though there's a difference in the manuscripts, too.
Yeah, because this one down here is the in you, which is a different manuscript. But actually, if you read up above, that's who it's referring to. It's all one flowing statement.
Which would not matter, even if it did say God.
Right.
Because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So, and Jesus was an express manifestation of the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. So to see Jesus was to see God, but we got a fleshly manifestation of a spirit being.
What is it? Some people have taken when God was manifested into Jesus and they say Jesus was God. And
exactly. Exactly.
Right.
It said God was in Christ. That did not make him Christ. God was in Christ. Mm-hmm. We are also supposed to be the temples of the Holy Spirit, which means God wants to be in us. Okay. So anyways, why don't we come up to the front?